ball. Now he's got support. Charging through is Gordon Hamilton. Has he got the pace to get there, the big flanker? Yes!
Tradition, history, the All Black marker.
Weiner steps inside his man.
David, we didn't have 60,000 South Africans. We had 43 million South Africans.
It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory. It's over. He's done it.
This game has been in our minds for 2 years probably, and it's great to be Irish.
All right. Hello and welcome to the final Rugby World Cup podcast with me, George Hook. And it's been great fun doing it, and I hope it's been fun for you to listen. So, of course, we're only going back 4 years now to 2011 and the Rugby World Cup in New Zealand. There was a lot of controversy about this because it looked as if the World Cup was going to go to Japan, and then... I have to say, New Zealanders started whinging about what it meant to them, and there were all sorts of rumours that Ireland changed their vote at the last minute, and who will know? It was a closed vote. But certainly New Zealand came out at the end as host for 2011 when most people had thought it was going to be Japan. So anyway, off we go. New coach. Eddie's involved again 4 years later, but this time he's coached to the USA. And Declan Kidney is coach to Ireland, and the World Cup is in New Zealand, where the infrastructure in New Zealand, which was the point most people made, doesn't have a great number of large hotels, doesn't have, a large number of large stadia. But it worked purely because the people of New Zealand took the competition to their hearts. A lot of predictability about it. New Zealand won their pool with France in second place, even though France had lost two games. They naturally lost New Zealand, but then they lost to Tonga. Now, I remember Popey in the studio. We were back in RTE at the time for that World Cup, and he thinks France are a done deal. Lee Vermont, the French coach, was never popular. Like Philippe Saint-André, who succeeded him for this time year's World Cup, his selection policies were crazy. And the rumours started to surface, rather as they have done this time, that the French players under Captain Thierry Dussatoir had taken over and told the coach to get lost. But it didn't look like it in that pool. They only qualified because of superior bonus points to the Tongans. England came through comfortably enough. Argentina in second place. And Scotland, who, you know, have had good World Cups as we talk about this series, in third place. But it is England and Argentina. And in Pool C, again, a lot of predictability about it. You had South Africa and Wales in second place. The Samoans, who have a great record in this tournament, having beaten Wales before, couldn't do it this time. So it's a done deal, except for the pool that Ireland were in. We beat Italy comfortably enough. We beat the United States comfortably enough. And the big match now is Australia. The bookies would have said Australia to win the group with Ireland in second place. And I believe that. And I think most of us believed it. And then on the morning of the match, Donal Lenihan in Australia reporting back to Ireland says, Australia have lost their hooker and they've lost David Pocock from the back row. And I remember I saying, not in a predictable sense, but simply saying this is a huge blow to Australia. Australia without the hooker, their lineout's in trouble, and without Pocock, their position at the breakdown's in trouble. Anyway, the match goes. Ireland win. Famous victory. And I wasn't excited about it. I remember saying, hold on here. We've beaten Australia, but they were short the hooker and Pocock. That wasn't a popular position. Not for the first time. Old Hooky didn't take a popular position. I'm construed as very negative. And then I remember getting an email from a television executive telling me that I had missed the mood of the people. So Not for the first time, I'd missed the mood, the people. We were all over the moon in the back home. Ireland were now going to win the World Cup. It was back to 07. It was sort of back to the future, if you don't mind me coining a phrase. And Ireland thought they were going to win the World Cup. They'd beaten Australia, which meant they were going to play Wales, who were runner-up in their group. So it's all hunky-dory. We're in business. Well, the other quarterfinals went with form, really, except France beat England. Now, this was France who'd lost to Tonga, who everybody said, bad coach, team morale disaster, and somehow they put it together to beat England. Australia beat South Africa, the holders. Great. The Aussies were fabulous in that quarterfinal. And the Argentinians go down to New Zealand, as is predictable. So now we've only got to beat Wales. Wales, after all, are runners-up in their group. And the key guys in that match were particularly Sean O'Brien. He'd had a wonderful World Cup. And to be fair to Wales, they read us absolutely right strategically. They cut down Sean O'Brien. He hardly made a yard in the match. They read everything of the way we played, and we duly lose to Wales in the quarterfinal. And yet again, despite all the hype, we're not able to make a semi-final. And Wales are now in the semi-final, and Australia, having beaten South Africa, of course, are going to meet New Zealand in the other semi-final. But we're heading home, same as we do every year, with our tails between our legs, optimism deflated. New Zealand, well, they're at home. Like, the entire economy at this point depends on New Zealand winning the World Cup. In fact, the newspapers are talking that the government could fall if New Zealand don't win the World Cup. The hype is enormous. Wales, meanwhile, are playing France. And then, an amazing decision. The best referee in the world at that point, in my view, was Irishman Alain Rolland, and he issues a red card to Sam Warburton, the Welsh captain. Deserved? I thought so then, and I still think so to this very day. Obviously, there are mixed views about it, but it was brave in the extreme, the kind of bravery that, you know, to be honest, we've come to expect of Irish referees going all the way back. I remember to a fella called Dave Burnett, who issued a red card to a fella called Ringer, who's the wing forward for Wales. So it was a pretty brave decision by Roland. Wales short a man, duly lose, and France are in the final. And then there is the most titanic final. I think actually one of the great finals. New Zealand overwhelming favourites in front of their own crowd. France score a wonderful try. New Zealand score a try, fail to convert, get a penalty. They're 8-7 up. And for the last 15 minutes, France are all over New Zealand. All over them. Craig Joubert of South Africa is the referee. And it depends, I suppose, on your view, but it was a lot of people. It was one of the rare occasions when Neil Francis and myself agree. We both agreed that Joubert didn't give France a penalty when he should have done. I think the pressure on the referee, the pressure on Rugby World Cup, the pressure on everybody, and New Zealand was a good heap of pressure on you, I tell you. New Zealand were destined to win this World Cup. And France, not for the first time in their history, were hard done by. And they lose by 8-7. And I think it was one of the bravest performances ever. And I remember, I must say, that even at the Haka, the French showed that they were here to play in the manner in which they literally marched at the Haka. For those of us of a certain age, in the way Willie Anderson did it for Ireland all those years before. But the Australian win in the pool remained the highlight for Irish people, not the least of whom was Ronan O'Gara. And this is how Ronan felt after we'd beaten Australia.
Yeah, I'm struggling, like I'm... My kids and wife are at home, and it's massive, you know. This is it for us. I'm done with Ireland in a few weeks. I've had a great time in this jersey, but I want this to be the biggest time. And it's a great team, great bunch of lads, and it means a lot to us, yeah.
Well, there you are. The history tells us what happened next, but that'll remain a special memory for a very special Irish fly half. France go home again and are going to be back in 4 years' time in 2011 because, of course, the tournament now is going to be back in Europe. And no doubt at this point, France are awaiting the arrival of a new coach and saying to themselves, it's going to be different in 2015. We know now it wasn't very different for them and it wasn't very different for us. Thanks for listening. George Hook with Rugby World Cup Podcast.